Zorba Pastor on Your Health is pre-recorded.
From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, and I'm here with family doc Zorba Pastor. We'll spend the next hour with you in our virtual doctor's office.
It is virtual.
But it's also real, right?
It is real.
I'm looking around.
Well, virtual and real, kind of, yeah, we're definitely real. We're looking around. We're seeing people. We're having thoughts. And we're doing a show.
That's right. We're going to talk healthy living. We'll walk you through a healthy recipe. We'll get to some of your phone calls and emails and a few of your voicemails as well. And if you have a question for the good doc, the number to call anytime is 800-462-7413. And along with those calls, we'll discuss a few healthy living topics, Zorba.
We're going to talk about lifestyle, environmental factors, health, aging, and our genes. And really good research that really shows that what you're around in your environment really affects you much more than you think it does. Interesting research. And then racism in medicine. Is it better? Is there racism in medicine? Is there racism in medicine when we actually treat people? The answer is yes. Is there in research? The answer is yes. How do we root it out? And how would we make sure that medicine is for everyone?
All right. Interesting stuff. And what's our special recipe today?
Noodles. Do you like noodles?
I like noodles. What kind of noodles?
Soba noodles. Ah. It is a soba noodle salad. It is a great dish to pass if you're going to somebody's house. It's wonderful for picnics. And you know what? It's great anytime.
Sounds great to me. To the phones we go at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Let's go to our first caller now, a listener in Baraboo, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hello.
How can we help?
I have what I believe is Raynaud's syndrome, but I cannot find any cause or cure for it.
Right, Raynaud's syndrome. Tell me what your symptoms are so we can share that with our listeners.
Well, basically, it's mainly my back and my hands. Mm-hmm. They get red, really red sometimes.
When do they get red?
There's no specific time that I can pin it on.
Uh-huh. Well, first of all, Raynaud's syndrome is basically, it's a response to cold. So when you put your hands, for instance, I have a little Raynaud's syndrome. Wintertime, winter in Wisconsin, as you know, is cold. Go out to my car, the steering wheel is cold. And if I touch the steering wheel with my hands, they'll turn a little bit white. They'll be painful and tingly. So I've got to really touch them with gloves. And it responds to warm weather. Is that what you have? Or do you just have something that happens randomly?
It seems to be random, but this winter, sometimes it was much redder, really red.
Uh-huh.
But right now, they're not so bad.
Is it painful?
No, it's not.
What do you do for it? What sort of lifestyle changes did you make?
I wear gloves sometimes inside.
No, that's kind of important. Do you smoke cigarettes, by the way?
Filtered cigars.
There's another problem that can occur with that too. But they actually, tobacco makes it worse, and tobacco actually brings it on. And also there's another disease called Berger's disease that is tobacco-related vasoconstriction of the extremities of the fingers. But tobacco of any sort, either it may be nicotine, but definitely tobacco products such as filtered cigars will do it. If you stop smoking filtered cigars, it may go away, and this may be a side effect of that.
Okay, well, good reason to stop. I've been wanting to anyway.
but seriously, this may be from that. It may totally go away once you stop doing that. That is a known cause of that, and what you're explaining really fits within a tobacco-related products of that. How'd you get into filtered cigars?
Filtered cigars are cheaper than cigarettes.
Very interesting. So here we are in the state of Wisconsin, and we have filtered cigars that actually cost less than cigarettes. Who's in charge? I mean, how could they do that? Think about the fact that you have legislation and then nobody bothers to figure out, wait a minute, filtered cigars cost less, so people start smoking something that actually has more nicotine and more of a product.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, of course. You know, think about a cigar. Try to inhale a cigar. You've done that. Maybe.
I smoked a cigar, but I didn't inhale. Didn't someone say that once?
Anyway, stop your cigars, and that may actually do something. That's exactly right.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care now.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413.
You know, I love quotes.
Okay.
And there is a famous quote about Bartlett's quotations. And basically, they pick out minimal quotes that are extremely important that are recognized worldwide. And it's been a book that's been around, I don't know, maybe 100 years, 200 years. It's always updated. I smoked, but I didn't inhale.
Yeah.
Was it Bill Clinton?
Yes, it was.
In Bartlett's quotations. And we all know that wasn't a cigar. It was a doobie.
That's right. 800-4... That's what they call it, a doobie? 800-462-7413.
Get with
it, man. Sorry, I should know the terminology. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's do our first healthy living topic today, Zorba. I'm going to read this headline. Lifestyle and environmental factors affect health and aging more than our genes. This is some new research out of Oxford.
Well, I think this is important research. And the research is, let's look at cancer for a minute, and let's look at identical twins. So if one twin gets breast cancer, the chances the other twin will get breast cancer is about 20%. Somewhere in that number. Mm-hmm. Prostate cancer is somewhere between 20 and 40%. Colon cancer is somewhere also within that range. The latest data shows. So in other words, the gene may predispose you, but what you do, where you live, how you live your life may also activate or not activate the gene. And people mm-hmm. often think, well, you know, my sister had breast cancer, I'm going to get it. Very important to get screened. But the chances are actually that you're not going to get breast cancer, but you may. So you got to look at it and deal with it. But the UK Biobank, so there's one insurance company in the United Kingdom. It's called the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so they have very, very good data. And they actually think that 17% of the variation in the risk of death from heart disease, from cancer, from stroke is really due to environmental factors. Mm-hmm. So some of the factors we understand, smoking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Big factor, right?
Right. Just talked about that.
Yeah, factor. Exercise, big factor, right? Whether or not you live next to a highway.
It's a factor. Air pollution.
There's air pollution. It's a factor. Whether or not you have green spaces so you might walk. You know, are you near a forest? Do you walk? Do you actually do things like that? So smoking around birth, actually, if you're in a house with a smoker and you're a baby that grows up in a house with tobacco, that appears to be a factor that affects you 30 to 80 years later.
I believe that.
And I'll give a perfect example. Turns out the U.S. Public Service Task Force says that men over the age of 65 should be screened for something called an aortic aneurysm, okay? To see whether or not you have this. It's a screening test. You do an ultrasound. It's one and done. The ones that should be screened are people who have smoked 100 cigarettes in their lifetime.
That's not that many, really, if you think about it.
Not that many. Yeah. 20 cigarettes in a pack.
Right.
I mean, 100 cigarettes. So, I mean, my kids don't smoke, but when they were younger, I know they went out to bars. I know they smoked cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that they smoked more than 100 cigarettes in their lifetime. So it shows you that some of these things, even in tiny amounts, can affect you greatly. And that's why, especially from birth on, that's why you really have to look at your whole environment, the house you live in, what you're doing. Do you have an air filter on your furnace?
Yes.
You change it?
Thanks for the reminder. I should change that. Thanks. I haven't done it this winter yet. That's a once a year thing, right?
Well, it's once a year. In some cases, it's 2 to 4 times a year.
You've
got to check on. I just had a new furnace put in the house, and he said you should change it 4 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
Look up the furnace. Go to YouTube University and see how many times a year. You want to keep that air clear. Do you remember the last time you changed it?
It was probably 2 years ago.
Probably
so, yeah, two winters ago. So, yeah, I should
definitely
do it.
So, 2 winters ago. So, your house, the air in the house, you know, is not totally clean.
Yep.
When things are good in your house, let's say it's nice and warm, do you open up all the windows?
Sure.
Clear out the house, clear up the air that's in the house?
Yeah.
These are things that we want to think about environmentally that affect us. You want to look around your house to see that. You also, as you're older, you want to look around your house and see whether or not it's light at night, so when you get up when Mother Nature calls, you do not fall between your bed and the bathroom. Or in the bathroom, and that's where many deaths occur. A surprising number of deaths occur in the house, in the bathroom. And that's, once again, an environmental factor. So this study out of the UK said lifestyle and environmental factors are something we should look at, along with nutrition, exercise, and taking the right medications.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. You can call anytime. You can leave us a voicemail.
Anytime.
Let's go.
And a compliment.
Wait, leave a compliment? Are you fishing for compliments from our listeners right now? Yeah, call us, give us a compliment.
But I have to tell you, I was on my way to the studio this morning. Really, I'm on the way to the studio, and somebody stopped me in the building. There was a nice guy. I looked at him. He was painting the building. He's painting downstairs in the building. And I said, good work. Always do that. When you see people painting or doing something, always stop and tell them good work. They will always appreciate it. He looked at me and he said, thank you. You do good work too. I listen to you on the radio and I love it.
He recognized you.
Absolutely.
What if
they're
doing terrible painting work though? What if it looks awful?
You still compliment and say you do good work. That's right. You do. When was the last time you saw somebody painting a building and doing terrible work?
I have young kids, so.
I'm not so much complimenting your kids. That's a whole other. Let's get on with the voicemail.
Okay, anyways, 800-462.
Moving on.
Let's go to one of those voicemails. Let's hear one from Morristown, New Jersey.
Recently went to the doctor, got my annual physical, and I got a cholesterol LDL of 122. I've been exercising 3 days a week, eating lots of vegetables, fruits, nuts. What else can I do to bring down my cholesterol? Thank you.
So there's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol, and the LDL is the bad cholesterol. And it's one of the numbers that comes out when you get a lipid profile. So you've got to put things into perspective. If you're a diabetic and you're on diabetes medication, you've got to get that LDL down below 100. Usually we want to have it at about 60 or 70. As a diabetic, you have a risk factor. Now, if you do diet and exercise, for some people you can only get it down so far because it's genetic. But for many people, an LDL cholesterol of 122 is just fine. It's not a bad cholesterol. Is it above our, quote, normals? Well, it's above the numbers that we call normal, but I question whether or not they're really normal. They're just numbers that are there. You've got to look at everything else for heart disease. Do you exercise? Do you smoke? Are you overweight? Do you have a strong family history? What else is going on? So for some people, based on those things, you may actually treat an LDL cholesterol with a cholesterol-lowering med, such as Lipitor or Crestor, because it's too high. But for most people, it's just a variation of normal and something not to be concerned about, but something to remind you there are other things you can do to lower your risk of heart disease that you can control.
Now, what about from a nutritional standpoint, what can this caller do?
Well, first of all, if you went on a vegan diet, let's say it's a vegan diet, look at your LDL cholesterol. If it changes, okay. Then if you want to be on a vegan diet, you stay on a vegan diet. It may not change because it's genetic. So that's the first thing I tell people. If you want to see what it is, be really, really good. Eat the cardboard diet. I don't mean all vegans eat cardboard diets, but eat a diet that's,
we're going to get some emails from that.
We always do. The vegans are always right in. But eat something, you know, eat much, much less fat. See if it makes any difference. If it doesn't, these are your genes. Then you look at, with your physician, your nurse practitioner, your PA, whether or not that's worth controlling with a medication. For many people, it means nothing other than the fact that this is your genetic makeup. But for others, it has meaning.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413.
And I think this highlights one more thing. It highlights your relationship with your healthcare provider is critical. And your healthcare provider, doctor, nurse practitioner, PA, is the one who must take the time, who puts it together so you can figure out your individual plan. And in this hurly-burly time of medicine, that often doesn't happen. And I want to just make a perfect example. One of my children, oldest son, Zach, went in for his annual examination. He couldn't see his doctor. He saw a PA, and the PA looked at the computer the entire time. Awful. Mm-hmm. There's no relationship with the patient.
Is that the new normal?
I think it's a variation of normal.
It seems, I hear about
that
a lot.
I think it's awful.
Yeah.
I think it's an awful thing. You got to look at the patient. Come on. Mm-hmm. I mean, looking at a computer when you're engaging, you don't pick up the cues. I'm looking at you right now. There are a lot of, verbal cues and visual cues. And also, you're not going to change behavior if I'm looking over here to the side on the computer. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very important for healthcare professionals to do that. And I recommended to him, I said, you got to give feedback to this person. Because they're too busy looking at stuff on a computer, and they're not looking at you. Mm-hmm. And we have to do what we have to do as healthcare providers is connect with our patients, because that's the only way we're going to change behavior. And frankly, that's the only way you're going to get an individual plan that is right for you, that's going to make your health supreme.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before we take a break, Zorba, it's time to scroll through the Zorba Pastor on your health Facebook page.
Where's the music?
It's coming. Don't worry. It's coming. You jumped the gun on the music. And it doesn't sound like that either.
Sounds like that in my brain.
Good enough for me. This is Facebook Feedback.
Facebook Feedback. No, it doesn't match.
It's all right. We can do a mashup of that someday. All right, Zorba, you've been traveling a whole lot lately.
I have.
Yeah. Trips to California, yep. Seattle, yep. Ski trips in Colorado, skiing in Montana, dog sledding
That's
in Montana.
Right.
Yeah, it's all over the Facebook page.
Right.
But I want to talk about a photo that got quite a slew of comments. Mm-hmm. It's just a photo of you standing. You're holding a Bloody Mary.
Yes.
And you're wearing a Grateful Dead T-shirt.
That's right. That's right.
Where were you for that?
I was at my cousin's house in California. It was East Bay. It was in Piedmont, California.
Okay.
And I was just there. It was a birthday party. They were serving Bloody Marys, and I stood out there with that. With the dead T-shirt. That's all.
You were feeling pretty good. It looked like
it was nothing. I was having a good time.
Yeah.
It was one Bloody Mary, by the way.
Sure.
It was not or three.
No.
It was great. The weather was down. I was having I got a lot of feedback. A lot of hits on that.
Oh, well, first off, all right, so Cheryl, Matthew, Tom, and Aaron, they all wrote different versions of, quote, I love the shirt, Zorba. And Randall wrote, didn't know you were a deadhead. Do you consider yourself a deadhead, by the way?
Yeah, well, I'm a deadhead. Closet deadhead.
Deadhead?
Have
you seen him live?
Closet deadhead.
Yeah,
Modified deadhead.
Yeah.
Amateur deadhead.
Amateur deadhead. Did you see him back in the day? Did you see him live?
Okay. Of course.
That sounds fun. Renee in Viroqua, Wisconsin wrote, a good BM is always appreciated. And I think by BM, she meant Bloody Mary, right?
I think she must have meant that.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I think,
it is.
Renee was
Bloody
being
Mary.
Funny, I
That's
think.
That's what she means, yeah. Right.
Although either way, it's great. You also posted a photo of you in a store in Montana. You're standing next to a $1,400 pair of cowboy boots.
Yes, right.
Did you end up buying those, by the way?
Of course. I was in the
store. You're not wearing them.
I was in the store in Montana because we were going to fix something, and there were these cowboy boots. You know, some of them were $250, and I stood by the $1,400 pair of cowboy boots. And I said, how many of these do you sell? He said, about 3 to 5 a year.
A year.
They're dress-up boots.
Yeah,
dress-up
pretty
boots.
Nice.
Hey. Montana,
there
cowboy.
You go. So about that picture, David wrote, oh, you can splurge. You're a media star personality after all. Connie in Evansville, Indiana wrote, you deserve the $1,400 ones the rest of your life, and then someone will inherit them and wear them for many more years. So it's like an heirloom you pass down, these cowboy boots.
Yeah, but I didn't buy them.
I know. Let's pretend you did. Finally, Charles in Waupun, Wisconsin wrote, all the places you're getting to, one after the next, it just amazes me.
Nice.
I agree with Charles.
Yeah, that's right.
How do you get around like that? It's crazy. It's amazing. You can always keep up.
I've learned how to fly.
Okay.
Okay. Flap your hands. You can do it too.
Sure. All right. I'll try it after the show. You can always keep up with Zorba's busy jet-setting lifestyle on the Zorba Pastor on Your Health Facebook page. And of course, if you have a healthy living question for the good doc, post it there or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
More of your calls to come, more of your emails,
yes.
And we're going to put together a healthy recipe.
Soba noodle salad.
Ooh,
it's
that sounds
good.
Great. All that coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX. Carl Christensen in Buck Studio. We're in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes,
and
we are.
You are listening to Zorba Pastor on Your Health. And I'm sitting right across the desk from the legend himself, Zorba Pastor.
He's legend.
Right there. He's wearing a nice flannel, a Badger, Wisconsin Badgers hat.
Yeah, I got the whole thing.
He's got it all going on.
I'm going to my trainer later, so I've got my trainer's name.
You got it all.
I'm together.
Yep.
But I'm not skiing. I love skiing.
You've been skiing a lot.
But I don't have my boots on.
Yeah. You know,
I'm only skiing 4 more days and then...
Yep, there you go. I got to say the phone number again. 800-462-7413. If you want to call in, you could leave us a voicemail or just call with a question. That's 800-462-7413. So this is soba noodle salad.
When you were in college, did you eat, you know, soba noodles? You know,
instant noodles? Ramen noodles. Is that the same?
Ramen is just different noodle.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's not soba, though. Soba's a little thicker, right?
It's a little thicker noodle, exactly. Hard to believe that when I went to college, those packages were not around.
No, okay.
There was Kraft macaroni and cheese, but there were no packages like you had.
Yeah, I lived on
but
those
But a soba
things.
Noodle is bigger.
All right.
Start out with 1 pack extra firm tofu.
1 pack extra firm tofu?
It's got to be extra firm tofu. If not, this will fall apart. 1/4 cup of your favorite soy sauce. 1 tablespoonful of sugar.
1 big tea raw sugar.
1/4 cup of tahini.
1/4 cup tahini.
2 tablespoonfuls of water. A little water in there.
2 big tea water. Now, what kind of water? Just regular old water here?
Yeah, regular water. Okay. Nothing special. Tablespoon. I know you're trying to make it sound special. I understand. That was a joke. I got it.
I wanted some fancy water in there.
I understand, you know.
But Perrier? Can we do that?
I can't. No, I didn't say fizzy water.
Okay.
Shall we move on with
please,
the
please, I'm sorry for derailing.
A tablespoonful of soy sauce and 1 tablespoonful of rice vinegar.
Oh, okay. All right. 1 big tea soy sauce, 1 big tea rice vinegar.
1 teaspoon of sesame oil.
A little tea sesame oil.
Now, when it comes to sesame oil, don't buy large containers. Buy small ones.
Right.
Because the oil can go a little bit almost rancid.
The shelf life's really pretty low on that. Short.
Yeah, it has a short.
Yeah.
A little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper.
Sure, S&P.
Get 10.5 ounce package of dry soba noodles.
Okay.
That's the standard dry soba noodles.
All right, 10.5 ounce dry soba noodles.
Cup of cherry tomatoes, cut in half.
All right, 1 cup of cherry tomatoes.
A ripe avocado cubed.
1 ripe avocado cubed.
Half a lemon. 1/4 cup of cilantro, if you like it, stems removed.
Which I don't. I don't like cilantro. 1/2 cup of cilantro.
I love cilantro.
It's metallic.
And
to
you
me.
can use a parsley, by the way.
Sure.
Instead.
All right. Some of that.
And 2 tablespoonfuls of black sesame seeds.
All right. 2 big tea black sesame seeds. Let's make it, Zorba.
Slice the tofu into 1/4-inch thick slices. Place them in a gallon-sized freezer bag. Cover it with the soy sauce and the sugar. Squeeze as much air out as possible. Seal the bag and let it marinate for 30 minutes.
It's
like that you're marinating the tofu.
Sure.
And a freezer bag is a great way to do it. Much better than in a bowl. Now, in a small bowl, whisk together the tahini, water, 1 tablespoonful, soy sauce, rice, vinegar, sesame oil, S&P. You've got that somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Got it? Another bowl. Now, heat a frying pan until hot. Add 2 tablespoonfuls of sesame oil, and then fry the tofu. You're going to take it out of the bag on one side, flip it on the second side, so it's now nice and fried in that particular
I love fried
sesame
tofu.
Oil. Then boil the soba according to package directions. Gives you a range of use. You want to make sure that it's El Dante.
Mm-hmm.
You want to never know which way to say it.
Grammar police, pronunciation
Dante,
police, chime in.
To the tooth. Drain it, put in a bowl of ice water so that you chill it right away. Then what you've got to do the preparation. Prepare the cherry tomatoes by washing them, cutting in half. Have pit and peel and cube the avocados. Sprinkle them with a little lemon juice to keep them from turning brown. Take the cilantro leaves from the stems. Get rid of the stems, or if you're going to use parsley. Now, add the noodles, the tofu, the cherry tomatoes, the avocado, the cilantro or parsley, and other sesame seeds, the black sesame seeds. Drizzle the dressing on top and toss it. And you can keep this up for 1 day in the fridge. And that's kind of, it's really good eaten immediately. But if you bring this in a dish to pass, do you ever go to dish to pass events?
Sure. Yeah. That's fun.
You will get tremendous. People are going to eat this and say, oh, my goodness. How did you make that? You know what you say? Oh, it's easy.
It's easy. It's I'll on give the radio the show.
So all you have to do is listen to the radio show. We can do it. But it really is an easy recipe. Mm-hmm. You just have to do things all in order. I think the prep for the recipe will take you about 15 minutes. I think getting the stuff together is about 5 minutes. And if you want a copy of today's recipe, guess what? You can go to our website,
sure.
ZorbaPastor.org. That's ZorbaPastor.org. And don't forget, you can find us through Facebook.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Let's go back to those phone lines now. Let's try to help out a caller in Merrimack, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi.
How can we help?
Well, I've been gluten-free for probably 17 years.
Oh, it's quite a long time. That's a long time.
Well, it happened because I had stomach issues most of my life.
Mm. And then what happened? What happened when you became gluten-free? What's the first thing you noticed?
The stomach issues went on vacation.
Isn't that great?
They haven't returned.
Isn't that great? Yeah.
Wonderful. And I also discovered something else. I've been very strict in my diet.
Mm-hmm. Strict meaning what? When you mean strict?
Well, I went to a dietitian initially, did an elimination diet, and found out that I was sensitive to wheat gluten, and some dairy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Not unusual, by the way. You know, Wisconsin is hard because we're a dairy state, and so, you know, so we think that dairy is always good, but lactose intolerance is common, and true gluten intolerance is not as common at all at lactose. And many people go on a gluten-free diet, they feel better, but some people can't digest gluten, and you were one of those people. If all your stomach issues went on vacation, you definitely had the gluten intolerance. So.
Well, and it's been wonderful. However, I discovered something. In 2018, we went to Austria and Germany, and we took a river cruise, and I told them ahead of time I was gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
And they had said, we got all the food you need. Don't worry about it. However, when I got there, we met with some family, and they cooked up all kinds of floured food.
Sure, of course.
And I thought, I'm going to probably die. But I survived and had no problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I scratched my head and said, why is that?
Well, first of all, why is it maybe that you can occasionally eat things that have gluten in it? But if you continue to eat gluten on a regular basis, you might become gluten intolerant again. In other words,
for the rest of the trip, I had everything. I had every apple strudel in every little village we went to.
And had no problem.
None whatsoever.
Great. The body can heal. Maybe you're not gluten intolerant anymore.
Well, here's what I discovered. I talked to some of the folks there in Europe, and they said that they do not allow American wheat into Europe. No American wheat products into Europe, and they are worried about our genetic modifications and other issues. And I've talked to other people there on the trip, and they did the same thing I did, and they were fine too. So it may be what you say, maybe something different.
Yeah, I don't think the difference really is due to the genetic modifications. I think it's actually gluten for some people who actually have, and you can actually measure it with certain tests, have the inability to actually digest it, and it changes the villi in the small intestine. So the villi, these are these little areas where we digest our food, actually can be changed with wheat. So I really don't think it is based on European wheat. It may be the variation of wheat. It may be other things. Or it may be your body changed. Your body isn't the same as it was 17 years ago. They're just not the same body. Sorry. Go look in the mirror. You don't look the same as you did 25 years ago. You know, that six-pack ab has become a 12-pack. I mean, that's what it is. It's become a 12-pack. See, Carl, you're laughing at that.
Well, can I chime in? I have a question for the caller here. Caller, did you try, when you came back to the States, did you try eating gluten-filled foods?
I have not intentionally.
Well, go to a German bakery and have go get some strudel and see whether or not it makes a difference. But once again, it may have been the amount of time you did it. If you did it and you, first of all, if you have true intolerance to gluten, which can be there, you may be able to tolerate it for a month or two, and then your body goes into the intolerance mode because you overdo it. And it happens that way with lactose intolerance, and it happens with a lot of other things. So the other option is just to continue cruising for the rest of your life. And if you continue cruising for your rest of your life, that'll be okay. And you can eat all the strudel you want to have.
You know what? I like your solution.
Well, thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
And I appreciate your input. Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. Let's go to a voicemail now. Let's try to help out a caller in the state of California.
I'm calling about the last caller because I had an open wound on my foot that wouldn't heal because of lack of circulation. It wouldn't heal for weeks and weeks. And finally, podiatrist recommended that I use medical grade honey, and I was putting it on the open wound, and it started healing in about a week. And they said not only is it antiviral and antibiotic, the honey, but it also leaches the toxins. And that's the only thing that worked on my foot after several courses of antibiotics. And I just wanted to share that. Thanks.
That's great. Medical honey. Meta honey is actually one of the companies that make it. Can be very useful. Years ago, my wife Penny had some circulatory problems, and we had to go to the wound care specialist at our clinic, who did a number of things. She sort of had potions. I like to call them potions. Because there were creams and potions, because sometimes it's hard to get wounds to heal, especially if there's a circulatory problem. And medical honey, medical grade honey, which you can buy in the internet, can be very, very useful in wounds that do not heal. Now, why it works, we don't know exactly. And she may be exactly right, but it is something useful. And so if you have a wound that doesn't heal, go to the internet, get some medical grade honey, or go to your pharmacy and ask them which one to use and use that on your wound. Good idea. Thanks for chiming in on that.
All right. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right. Before the break, Zorba, we always love hearing from the grammar police.
We do.
You love them.
We do.
Right?
I love them. Yeah.
Here's a new one, though. This voicemail came from a division of the grammar police that really likes to mix it up. They also really blend in to their surroundings. This is from the protein powder police.
Protein powder.
All right, I'm going to go make a protein shake.
Okay. Following voicemail, this is from a listener in Wisconsin.
Hey, guys. You were talking about protein supplements today, one of them being protein powders. And there's a study that came out not too long ago, if I'm not mistaken. It says that protein powders from vegetarian sources, some of them have really high amounts of lead in them. And I believe they also studied protein powders from animal sources, which had much less lead in them.
Well, first of all, lead should not be in anything we consume, period. So we have protein powders, and they may be a combination of things. So plant-based protein powders are made from soy, a pea, from rice, from seeds, from nuts. They're also, that's really basically if they're totally plant-based. If they're animal-based, they often come from dairy products like whey, casein, collagen from an egg, and even from beef. So there's sort of two broad types of powder. And the particular things looked at the fact that there appear to be some lead in some of these powders. Well, I think this is really a very serious thing. Lead and cadmium. Because if so, where are they coming from? And the issue is, how do you find out if you're having protein powders, whether or not this is in your protein protein powder. Mm-hmm. And then where's the FDA looking at this? Because there was, this is basically, there were some independent researchers who looked at, there was a group called the Clean Label Project, which is a nonprofit, but I don't know how they're funded, so I don't know much about them. What I often do, once again, there's a laboratory that I go to that I like, and it's consumerlab.com.
Mm-hmm.
Consumerlab.com. I don't get any money from consumerlab.com. I just think he does really, really good research. And look up his protein powders because he also tests them independently. Or go to consumerreports.com
mm-hmm.
and look up what they say with their protein powders because you want to get a protein powder that is free and clear. And then also, I actually think that big corporations like Costco, and if we look at pharmaceutical companies like Walgreens and CVS, if you look at their brand, they have someone else who's also looking at that brand and trying to make sure that brand is pure because they don't want to have their name ruined mm-hmm. by having it in their brand. So that's another way to look at it. But I think this is a big issue. Contamination in these protein powders, it's not a small issue. It's not going to go away, and we're going to hear more about it.
Do you want to join the ever-growing grammar police force? Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org. And remember, if you do that, you'll learn the secret handshake.
Do I even want to know what that is? All right.
And for those of you who are old enough, I'll send you a Rudy Kazooty ring.
Okay. We'll cover that on another show, I feel like.
All right. Rudy Kazooty. That's right.
More of your calls coming up, more emails and voicemails, and another healthy living topic to discuss. So keep it right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX.
Or a Rudy Kazooty whistle.
Carl Christensen in Buck Studio with Dr. Zorba Pastor. You're listening to Zorba Pastor on Your Health, and he's right over there across the desk from
me.
I am. Yep, there's his voice. You hear him, listeners.
I am.
If you have a question for the good doc, call anytime, 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. But first, let's get to another healthy living topic. Let's talk about racism in the medical world. This is some new research from the BMJ. Is it getting any better? We've talked about this on the show in the past.
There really are a lot of issues. So, you know, I believe that anyone who cares for you, it doesn't matter if they're male or female, what color their skin is, what's really important is, are they a good physician? Are they a good nurse? Are they a good nurse practitioner? And I think even bringing this up, discussing this is useful. And this is an article because the United Kingdom deals with racism just like we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have, you know, people have views and whether or not things are better. And the only way to begin to make some changes is to discuss it. So we're not talking about hiring and firing. We're not talking about a highly charged political environment. We're talking about actual racism where people say, I don't want that doctor actually caring for me because they're black. That sort of thing. Or I want another doctor because she's female and I want male. That's the surgeon, we'll say, who walks in the room. And so a number of medical schools in the country, rightfully so, have looked at this and said, we have to take action on this. They started about 5-10 years ago. And all we want to do is address it. And sometimes just bringing it up and discussing things is enough to make a difference. But it also makes a difference in how people are treated. So studies have shown that when black people complain about pain in the emergency room, they're not treated the same way and they're given less pain medication than white people who go in the emergency room and have the same complaints. In other words, it actually goes into that. And it's the same with men and women, that men may be treated differently when they complain about pain in the emergency room versus women. And it's the same with, for instance, when people actually have symptoms, that they actually have their own ability to think, well, I don't think I should complain about this. And then when they walk into the physician, there can be differential ways of they're actually addressed whether or not they are black or white, and also whether or not they're male and female. So getting back to the actual study, racism, they showed that in the BMJ, when they started to discuss this in Britain, things did improve, and they continue to improve. And I can see this in my lifetime. I mean, really, I started medical school in 1970. That was a long, long time ago. And there were incidents that I think about now in medical school with some of the black medical students that would never be accepted today and wouldn't occur today. You know, there were slurs that were on, that were actually out in the open. That doesn't happen today. It really doesn't. May happen in a rare circumstance, but it was an accepted thing in the 70s to make terrible remarks to people because of their color of their skin, which we would not do today. But the matter is, it never ends until we try to basically be a racist, sexist-free society. And that takes work, and it's not done.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's help out a caller now in Plover, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi, my name is Cindy. I have a question about alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency.
Sure. Now, why do you have a question about that?
Well, I've been diagnosed with it. Mm-hmm. And I just had recent testing, but I don't find out my results for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But I am an MZ, so a MM and a ZZ are my genetics, and ZZ is the worst.
Oh, you mean variation of the alpha-1 antitrypsin?
Variation, yes.
My first question, why did they test you in the first place? Do you have lung disease? I mean, that's associated with chronic bronchitis and emphysema.
Yes. I have emphysema.
Emphysema.
Hereditary emphysema.
Right, hereditary. Mm-hmm. Did you ever smoke cigarettes, by the way?
I quit in 1992.
Okay, so you quit a long, long time ago. And mm-hmm. I have a question for you. How long did you smoke for?
About 15 years.
About 15. Pack a day, half a pack a day?
Yeah, at least.
At least, so a pack and half a day. Okay.
Well, at the end, I was smoking, I'll bet, 3 packs a day. I was a nervous wreck.
Three mm-hmm. packs a day. Okay, so you're probably mm-hmm. somewhere between a 20 and 40-pack-year smoker, we call it. Okay, so you've got smoking on one thing, and then, of course, you didn't know you had the alpha-1 antitrypsin. You didn't know you had...
Not back then.
Not mm-hmm. back then, right. Right, mm-hmm. So you have a genetic predisposition that actually is made worse by smoking. Here's the reality of what we know. You know, first of all, you've got the genetic predisposition, plus you have tobacco, and that all produce this. There's a variable response. In other words, it's not exactly predictable. So some may be, quote, worse, some may be better, but they don't actually take into consideration how you're living your life right now and what you've done in your past. So let me ask you a few uh-huh. questions. How's your diet?
Actually, I am started the carnivore diet.
Okay, so have you done that to lose weight?
Yes.
Okay, so getting your weight down to a good weight is really, really important. You know, and if the carnivore diet doesn't do it, you might look at spending money on, you know, there are pharmacies that compound Ozempic. They do mm-hmm. a compound. You can get a prescription from your doctor. It's not the name brand Ozempic is really expensive. The prescription Ozempic that is compounded may cost you much less, $100 a month or something like that, $150 versus $1,000 a month. That may help you lose weight too, because losing mm-hmm. weight is a big, big issue. Are you a diabetic?
No.
Good. Very important.
Perfect blood pressure.
Perfect. Do you exercise?
I'm a housekeeper.
You get a lot of exercise, housekeeper. So what you want to do, do you have an activity monitor, like an activity watch on you?
I don't have it on me right now, but I put in more than 10,000 steps a day.
Right. And for people who don't have them, for $20, you can get one at Walmart. You put it on your wrist, mm-hmm. you know, and you can find out. And if you do a lot and you get 10,000 steps a day, you do something there. Your house. Let's talk about your house. You've got a furnace. Do you have a good furnace? Do you change your filter?
Yes, I change it every month.
That's
but
perfect.
It doesn't matter because this house is from the 70s and the vents are so dirty inside. Mm-hmm. My nose is plugged up every single night.
Well, you may. There are a couple of things you may want to do. You want to go, if your nose is plugged up, you've got to figure out if it's environmental or whether or not you need something else to unplug your nose. But you want to get that air. The goal here, since you've got the predisposition and the history, is to get your air as clean as possible, get your weight down as much as you can, and make sure you exercise what you're doing on a regular basis. Those are the things that you can do that will modulate ultimately what is going to happen. And you might just get to a stable area where it doesn't change that much. That yeah. may be what you see
right
is
now,
what
I'm,
you get.
I'm coughing up a lot right now. And so they've tested me again. And I also had a CT and blood test, but I don't find out for 2 weeks.
Right. And
so
you're on inhalers. Are you on inhalers for your COPD?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And taking them. So the answer
is, I'm just on Advair. I'm at Advair every day, once a day.
Advair's good. Advair's, it's a steroid inhaler
and,
a bronchodilator.
I have sleep apnea, so I'm on a CPAP, but I haven't been using it like I should.
You should use it. Very important. You should try. It's hard to use those machines for some people. Sometimes you need a different mask, something else, but that you should use it. Those are the things you want to do and make sure that's cleaned out too. But those, once again, you know, the subtype of the alpha trypsin that you have is not necessarily going to predict the ultimate outcome. It's predicted also by the way you live now.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You take care now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for that call at 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, let's take a listener email now from the inbox. The following question came from a listener named Robin, who writes, Zorba, I very much enjoy your show. You cover a wide range of topics cleverly and intelligently. Keep it up.
Nice.
Nice
very
start.
Nice.
Thanks,
very
Robin.
Nice. Very nice.
At age 78, I am very aware of balance issues. Mm-hmm. Some years ago, I realized that twice a day teeth brushing is an obvious time to work on several other physical needs.
That's a great idea.
As a result, I improved the ability of my non-dominant hand by using it to brush my teeth, and I practiced balance at the same time by standing on one leg.
I'm trying to picture myself using my non-dominant hand and standing on my right leg. Am I going to fall or not fall?
I'm going
to
try this.
You brush teeth with your right hand or left hand?
Right hand.
Are you ambidextrous?
Not really, no.
Okay, try brushing with your left
hand. I'm going to try this.
I'm going to try that.
There's
too.
More. Robin continues. Usually I stand on the left twice as often as the right, as I am right leg dominant. I believe that this practice has been a positive way to maintain the balance and strength that I desire for the physical activity that I very much enjoy, including walking on hills and rough off-road trails. What do you think of this?
I think it's a great idea. I'm going to go home tonight and this evening I'm going to try brushing with my left hand. I mean, I don't
stand on one leg.
I don't do anything with my left hand. I use my right hand to do stuff.
Sure.
But I'm very right dominant. I'm not left dominant. Brush my teeth. I just want to know if I can get in my mouth. Just do it.
It'll take some practice. I think you can do it.
I can't write with my left. Can you write with your left hand?
No. I can. So baseball, when I was learning baseball, how to bat as a kid, my dad, he was a psychology teacher. So he was always doing these little experiments. Yeah. And I would pick it up and bat right-handed. Mm-hmm. And he'd say, no, try it this way, left-handed. So I'm now a left-handed batter.
Really?
Left-handed hockey.
Oh, really?
Left-handed.
So he taught you
shoveling.
Really? Shoveler.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess that's the only ambidextrousness. Yeah, golfing left-handed. Yep, definitely. Right. But I'm right-hand dominant, so his little experiment worked. Anyways, have a healthy living tip.
You didn't say thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad, if you're listening. Thanks for doing your experiment on me. Have a healthy living tip for the show. Don't tip over. Just post it on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org or, of course, Facebook.
800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, let's go to a voicemail now. This is from a listener in Chicago.
My question is, what are the benefits of having capsaicin in your diet?
Capsaicin, I believe, is what he's talking about.
Yeah. Well, capsaicin are hot peppers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's the interior of it, right?
Yeah.
Like the seeds and the little white part.
The capsaicin is what makes it hot.
Right.
I mean, it is, basically is what makes it hot. I don't think there's any benefit one way or another.
Okay.
I mean, you know, there are people who take hot peppers and think they make it better. I think they're really good for eating, but mm-hmm. I don't think there's any benefit for taking capsaicin. There is benefit for topical capsaicin for some people who suffer from arthritis.
Oh.
There are capsaicin creams, and for some of them, it really works well, just like the counter-irritant creams of Bengay can work well, too. But taking it into your diet, I don't think really has any benefit at all. Nothing that I've read says that.
Okay. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413. All right, before we head out today, Zorba, let's dig deep and get to know the good doc a little bit better. How's that sound? And what better way to do that than to ambush him with mm-hmm. a personal question right here on the show? Are you ready, Zorba? God.
Yeah, it depends.
We'll see. All right.
I'm sitting up straight.
Okay.
I'm sitting up straight. I'm doing it. Yeah, right. I really am sitting up straight.
This is a personal question. Yeah, okay. It's a voicemail from a listener in Kimberly, Wisconsin.
I got a question for Zorba Pastor. So people have made comments over the years about your laugh, whether they love it and think it's cute or they find it annoying. Well, I have a really, maybe it's a personal question, mm-hmm. but when you laugh on the radio, do you feel like it's part of a persona? Or is it like a genuine expression, like you just love to laugh? Because I know when I perform, sometimes I find myself just dialing into like one aspect of my character, whether it be a laugh or a particular expression. So I'm just curious, how genuine is the laugh? Like, really genuine question. Love the show. Thanks.
Well, first of all, the laugh is a genuine laugh.
I can attest to that.
This is the way I laugh. And years ago, a few years ago, I was at a family picnic, and I saw a cousin I hadn't seen in maybe 30 years, mm-hmm. maybe 40 years. He just happened to show up there. He lives in California. And we were laughing. And the first thing he said, he looked at me, he said, "You laugh just like your father." And I thought, I don't think I laugh like my father. It doesn't sound like that. That's what I said. He said, "Nope. That's your father's laugh." And yeah, no, the laugh is real. It's not part of my persona. It's actually my real laugh.
It is.
And thank you for asking.
I attest to that.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
When we, you know, talk before we're doing the show or whatever, and you're laughing.
It's the same laugh.
It's the same laugh.
It is me.
That's the real Zorba laugh right there.
It is.
It's a genuine article. Do you have a personal question for the good doc? Just post on our Facebook page, or you can always send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
Should we do this again next week?
I'll do it.
Okay, and you'll be laughing the whole time.
The whole time.
If you missed anything during the show or you just want to stream the show online anytime, visit us on the web.
At ZorbaPastor.org and, of course, Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call us anytime. Anytime?
Anytime.
Usually you say anytime there. To leave us your question. See, he's laughing.
You caused me to laugh because I didn't say it. You caught me on it.
Anytime. 800-462-7413. As if you haven't heard the number enough today. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Ba-ba-da-da.
Not intended as a medical diagnosis.
Ba-ba-da-da.
So please do check with your doc.
That's called a disclaimer.
Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen.
That's right.
And our technical director is Brad Kohlberg.
No, the great Brad Kohlberg.
The great Brad Kohlberg. I'm going to make a note of that. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Carl Christensen, asking you to join us on the next
Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
From WPR.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.